Zechariah chapter 13 again this morning. And last week I told John to title that one on the suffering saint and a blessed or happy professor, because somewhere in the back of my mind, for them to have to go back and change the title, and I may be wrong on this, but it seemed like it created a little extra work for them. And as usual, I thought I would complete that today, but it wasn't to be. But in verse 9, I do want to speak to you concerning the refiner and the fire. And it's the children of God going through trying times throughout life. But you heard, our God is faithful. Zechariah 13, we'll just read verse 9 in a few minutes. Would you bow with me as we approach the throne of grace? My Father, it is again thy great mercy that allow us to gather. For we never know in leaving this place if it will ever be the same people, all of them, by the next time we meet. We just don't know, Lord. Only you, O God, have the future, and it's hidden from us for a wise purpose. But in our thankfulness to you for that, let us in reverence and in sincerity bow at the throne. There in the thankfulness again that one such as I can now call you Father. And I look to your right, and there sits the Lamb of God, He who suffered to pay an eternal debt that I never could. Lord, lift him today. And for that, give us thy Spirit, Holy Father, and wisdom. It's just not in man. And surely these did not come looking to me, but to thee for a word. Would you grant that to them, wherever they are in their Christian walk, or those that have not yet begun, still on the outside, the narrow path. Grant mercy to them and keep them until one day they can say, the Lord delivered me from my sin. And let us begin to find out what it is when the saints of God gather, united in heart, to sing and to worship thee. We long for that day, Holy Father, and for that day when it can be said, that the Lord Jesus Christ is still walking in the midst of the candlesticks. Make him real. Make him living. Not just some idea we have in our head about a man called Jesus. Do that for us and give help, much help, Lord, in speaking and then in hearing. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Zechariah 13 and verse 9. And I will bring the third part to the fire. That does not mean that one out of every three people on earth is a Christian. Neither does it mean that one in three that are Christians will go through the fire. It will burn in all of us. But I know this also to be a fact. Some of you might be in the fire of 150 degrees. And it is having its work within your heart. And some of you might be in one that is 80 degrees. And it is doing the same thing. And the 80 degree to that person is as hot as the one in the fire of 150 degrees. Now you say, well, a human being couldn't stand in that temperature, couldn't last. That's true if you're looking at it solely from the physical point of view. It would destroy all of us in the physical. We've long since passed that, and we're talking about God, the great refiner, and a people that will one day bow in adoration, in thankfulness, and what else we can only wait for that day. I will bring the third part to the fire and will refine them. That is, I will melt, and fire get pretty hot at times, children. I will melt. Another time it is used as I will purge away. I will refine them as silver is refined. And we'll try. That word means to examine or to prove. You go get your driver's license and you first pass a written exam, and then you go back a year later and you must pass the test of operating a vehicle in the right way. You're always examined. You go through school and test after test, just to prove that you deserve the diploma you got. And God does that to make certain to you, not to him, but to you, you are in his school, you are his child, and he's the one that has you there for your good. I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. You ever wonder just what the percentage is of those that claim to be Christians and those that are Christians that might have whispered in their ear, my child? Or as Christ said, I ascend to my God and your God, my Father and your Father. When you use those words, surely you do use them, God, Father, surely. Is he yours? Has he yet brought you to the Lord Jesus. And there, seeing him on Calvary for the great debt you owed God, him having to pay it in its full. I will say it is my people. Our God pointing out to another, right there is my son, there is my daughter, and he's not ashamed to call us that. It is my people. And into the fire and out of the fire they shall say, the Lord is my good, is my God. Now, folks, the only thing valuable to one that is operating or the refiner of precious metal, looking after the right temperature, the only thing valuable is pure silver, as pure as they can get it, and pure gold. Everything else is discarded. You're more familiar with a barrel of oil that we import if we are purchasing oil from other places. And they bring it here and they put it through a refiner. And there are a lot of byproducts before it gets to the gas that you use in your car. It used to be that diesel fuel was down at the bottom of the list as far as price, because it's a byproduct of oil that is refined along with other things. But our greedy people thought we can make much more if we raise the price of this equal to and higher than regular gasoline. So there are a lot of byproducts attach themselves to that pure gold and pure silver, as there are a lot of things in your life that will be discarded. You want to read the will of the great Redeemer of all his people? Father, I will. He didn't pray. He ceased that intercessory prayer there in John 17. And he changed it into, this is my will. I will that those that thou hast given me be with me where I am. The children, the only way that you will ever be with him in eternity is through the dreaded fires. Because in the best, there's too much within us to enter glory. A lot to be destroyed. And when God brought you to Christ, you were like that ore that had been mined. And when salvation came by way of the sovereign act of God by his Spirit, and you were birthed into the family and given the faith of Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians 2:8, that not of yourselves. Now, next phrase is back to faith. It is the gift of God. Don't anyone sit here and think that you were born into the family of human beings and you had faith. Not towards God, you did not. None of us did. But when God birthed you then implanted in this old body as the gold or as the silver in the ore was that faith. That's what Peter talks about, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. We read that last week in 1 Peter. Now the question always comes to mind, I've had it asked a lot of times, and you probably have asked yourself or had others ask you. If God could save all people, then why does He not? First of all, that little two-letter word, if, when it comes to speaking about God and God's works and what God can and what God will do, there are no ifs. All the works of God were finished from the foundation of the world. But then there are those, and I've had them ask, if God could have kept sin out of the world, why did Adam fall? Again, drop the if. And I've read biblical scholars, many of them self-pronounced scholars. C.I. Schofield said that the plan of God failed when Adam ate the fruit. And God had to come up with another, and they had to redo everything. The plan of God did not fall. It did not fail. But all we hear today is about man. Your happiness, your good. God wants to save you. But it's up to you. You must let Him. You must ask Him. Well, our Lord put it at the beginning of John 17 in as precise a manner as possible. Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may also glorify Thee. The second verse is, Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. So you got these two. Number one, the glory of Christ, which is equal with the glory of God His Father. That's why everything happened. The second thing under that heading is the Lordship, as Thou hast given Him power. Now that is the man, because Christ Jesus in every aspect is equal with God. But to purchase you, He lay aside all those attributes, became as you were. And the third, that He should give eternal life unto as many as Thou hast given Him. The glory of Christ our Redeemer. The Lordship of Christ over all. And third is the salvation of His people. That's not first. Now when Adam was created, he was created in the very image of God. And when God called him to give account, as he did the serpent and Eve, Adam's excuse or reason was, the woman thou gavest me. And folk, neither of those were incorrect. The woman that thou gavest me. But after all, it wasn't the woman's fault. And it wasn't the serpent's fault. It was that when that creation was finished from the hand of God, he was made in the likeness of the very Son of God. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So it was his heart. He could do no less. A love likened to the Lord Jesus that none of us will ever know about towards another human being, but Christ had that for his wife. And so he ate the fruit. Well, Christ did the same thing. Thou hast made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Adam ate so he could be where his wife was. And Jesus came, and God took the sins of every one of the children of God that will be in glory, and he laid them on Christ. All because of the heart Christ had. If you go back and read Proverbs 8, you find in there that his delight was with the sons of men. But this was before there was ever anything created. Yet he already delighted in his people. Now all that brings us to the furnace. And I assure you this, that all that the Father hath given Christ, he has lost none and will lose none. So when the fires begin to burn in child of God, they will. And you don't know if God is watching. The flames feel too hot to even think that God could be looking now. And so much of you is being destroyed. But a third, every child of God will come through. That God might make you in the likeness of his Son. Malachi 3:3 speaks about him sitting as a refiner. He sits with his eye looking through the door of that furnace, like the old refiner, because he's going to protect that precious metal in there. So your God sits as a refiner and purifier. But this is the purpose God does that for you, that you may offer unto the Lord a pure offering in righteousness. Now, is that true of you? It might not be, but it will be if you're a child of God. So he brings the third part, because embedded in your old nature is that precious faith of the Lord Jesus. But all our hearts, every heart here of a child of God, it has feelings, it has presumption. God will do this. Personal ambition, desires. And you can't separate these from faith in the beginning. You all thought it was part of faith. I did also. And you're thinking, it's just intertwined or wrapped around pure faith. that God must refine. Children, the greatest work of God is the making of a son of Adam, daughter of Adam, in the likeness of the Lord Jesus, and that can enjoy him throughout eternity. Now, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know that. So he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Religion says you just got to believe. Believe what? How can I? My heart is deceitful. My heart tells me things that I'm all right. It even tells me that one day, if I'm not all right, I'll get right with God. So religion says just name it and claim it. Lay hands on it. Claim it in the name of Jesus. Furtherish thing from the will of God and true faith. Many, there have been several I've talked with over the years, young men, sometimes a young lady. I believe it is the Lord's will for this one to be my wife. And he named the girl. And he said, I've begun reading my Bible and I've begun praying. And 6 months later or a year later, she's married somebody else and he's put his Bible down and he's praying down. Because that's the only reason he started. And God didn't give him what he wanted. And God didn't give him what he thought God had told him he would give him. That was all in his head. Now this is over 150 years ago, and I wished I could remember where I read this. A mother came to the preacher. And her son was seriously ill. And she said, I want you to pray for my son. And the preacher and he began the prayer and she's sitting beside. He said, Gracious Lord, if it be thy will, raise up this young person. And the mother stopped him immediately and said, Do not, if it be God's will, you just ask him to raise up my child. He said, Ma'am, you have your desire. And he never said another thing in prayer. In less than 20 years, she followed that boy to the gallows. Everything you ask, it must be according to thy will, O God. And when you attach the name of Christ, in Jesus' name I pray, you are attaching him oft times to carnal request. Things you want, how you'd like for it to be. So God puts you in the furnace. And as the furnace has its effectual work, and my faith in the beginning, what I thought was my faith, was a little more than head knowledge. And the fire burns away so much that I thought was beneficial and needful in the service of God. Even to the point that I thought, Lord, this is going to destroy destroy me. But I found out in coming out a little more of what pure faith was. There are riches, dear children, great treasures in the heart of Christ. But man in himself cannot be trusted with these things until God has prepared him. That's why no one comes to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I accept you, and say you're saved. It doesn't work that way. You must have had a work in your heart making you to know that you are lost and undone and without God in this old world. And on that broad road, it's going to carry you to an eternal lake of fire. That's got to be a reality. But you can't do it in yourself. Oh, it's in your head. I realize that. But you can't do it. And all the treasures in Christ, you can't fix yourself so as to handle what he would give you. And God burns away and establishes not my righteousness, but clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And then the heart begins pursuing after a pure, holy walk with God. And a lot of the other things have been destroyed. I only got two places I want you to turn this morning. Jude, not hard to find, young folk, next to the last book, right before the Revelation. And there's so much. I don't know of another 25 consecutive verses that are as rich in material and truth. The wall of Scripture is truth. This little book is so concise. But instead of losing you reading a lot, I want you just to look with me at verse 19. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. Sensual. There is in me and you a sensual or natural. It's the same principle within all animal life. This we have in common with the beast. We can relate to their sensual nature. But above the beast, you've got a mental concept that you can store up, and you've got an emotional capacity. Now, I've seen some mother birds do whatever was necessary to protect their young. I've seen mother cows do the same for their offspring. So I don't know how far that goes, but I know nothing compared to a human being. These are they that separate themselves sensual. And this is what you hear from them. Don't do this. Don't go there. This is what you need to do. This is what you should do. And all, I'm speaking from personal experience now as far as Christian schools. Not all of them. There are some that might be good. But the vast majority of them are making first-rate little Pharisees. They're giving them a list of rules to do and what you don't do, what you say, where you go. All they're doing is training their old sensual nature to play the part of a Christian. But there's that within every natural man. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So God must work within. And the fire will oft times bring the children, not in the physical aspect now, but in the spiritual, bring them almost to the door of death. I don't know how I can be a Christian like this. It is so difficult to pray. You become like Job. I looked for God on the right hand, and he wasn't there. I looked for him on the left hand, and he wasn't there. I looked for him ahead, and he wasn't there. That's him looking at the promises, or I looked on him behind, but I couldn't find him. And it gets difficult. And if God did not sustain you in that furnace, the fire to you would destroy you. So God must not only prepare you to receive Christ and his great and bountiful gifts and riches. There was a man called Saul of Tarsus, and Christ met him, birthed him into his family, and then sometime later he called him up to the third heaven, and it was so real. It may have actually been real. Paul said, I don't know. I don't know if I was in the body or if I was out of the body, but this is what I saw in heaven. And he did tell us in Ephesians of the great mystery of God and showed us that. But he said, I saw things there that is unlawful for me to speak. I can't tell you about it. Not only can I not tell you about it, you do not have the capacity to hear if I did tell you. And the only way that man that had been to the third heaven could ever remain beneficial to God on earth was that God put a thorn in him, in his flesh, and he have to bear that thorn the rest of his days here. I kind of think it was a demon that sat on Paul's shoulder whispering. You remember that when you held the coat for them to put him to death? You remember these that you had put to death? You brought them into prison. Everywhere he turned, we know it was a demon. And you can rest assured it wasn't a demon of peace. Now your heart, it can become overcrowded. It can become earthly. Your feet are so planted on this old ball of dirt and water. It can become so sensual that only a furnace will fit you to get you back where you ought to be as a child of God. And it'll prepare you, not only getting rid of, but prepare you to obtain from Christ. And how valuable sometimes we count our works and our dedication and our prayers and just see them all destroyed. Twenty years ago, I took every note that I'd ever had and saved. I took it out to the trash pile and I put it on fire. It was no good to me. And ever so often I do the same thing, never save anything now except that which has come to mind that I have not yet been able to speak to you about, just didn't finish it out. I keep those. But this will go in the trash. How much more, I don't know. But I know this, the more the fire destroys within, the brighter Christ shines. And the more glorious does he become. His works, his grace, his goodness, his mercy, his love, they all take on a different luster. For the heart that's been cleaned up by fire. Those things begin. You remember in Revelation there, four, might be five, the rainbow over his head. That appeared to Noah. And these things to you would be like a ray of light going through droplets of water in the air, and it'd break it down into all those colors, different colors. And that's our Lord. Folk, there are things in this book that none of us will ever reach the end of here. But oftentimes there's too much of me that God must take away. But the fire's work will bring you into a fellowship unknown. And he or she, and there are some of you here today, I'm certain, suffering, maybe in current circumstances, I don't know. But I never bother you, even when I know. Unless you ask me. For there are some things that you must work through yourself, and then there are some things that are so heavy that you must have help to bear. So you'll have heavy trials and great afflictions. But by experience, and greater than my experience, is the Word of God. The beauty on the other side of the fire and the heavy tribulations you wouldn't get rid of it for this old world 10,000 times over. I'll close with no greater illustration, and again here is an easy book for you to find. It's Daniel. It's just go to your right from the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and you run into the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And then you find Daniel. And I want to read and hope you'll follow along with me here. Because in the physical realm, this happened to three Hebrew young men, which will happen to the children of God in the spiritual realm as God molds and makes and forms you into the very image of Christ. You've got to be like him to be with him in eternity, children. Now in verse 16, you found it, Daniel 3. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. So he let all the news networks, back when you could trust most of them, you let them gather there to find out what it's like being in the fire. Do you three men regret not bowing to the king's statue he made? No. Never a moment do we doubt our standing firm. If you could have it to do all over again, would you? 1,000 times over. Now you're not going to volunteer for the fire. None of us. And none of us apart from God upholding us in the fire are going to be able to stand. Well, you said they knew God would protect them. They did not know that. They said, if it be, God can. But if not, we still are going to serve your idol. We serve the living God. Though you're not going to volunteer from the fire, you think it's going to be too great? No, I like me the way I am. And I honestly don't know that I would have submitted here. Matter of fact, I don't even know. I suppose God could have nearly killed me, and I might have. I don't know, had I known what preaching would cost, I never would have taken it up. But I didn't know. And gladly, I can tell you, everything gained was well, well worth it. Now sometimes you'll have the Son of God join you in the midst of the fire. As God burns off all the ropes that bind you, sometimes he won't. But what would it be like in the middle of that fire to have the Son of God, his compassion, his nearness, the very heart of Jesus expressed to you there? Only could the fire and the furnace fix you to receive from him. Ask them when they leave, do you regret? Nope. And I've never met a child of God after the fire, or some of them even in it, that regretted their heavy afflictions. And I've seen men, many of them already gone, and I've known them personally. Life on earth was a misery for them. And two or three good preachers I was well acquainted with, hell that they had to endure. But they always had a smile on their face, and when they stood to preach, you would not know there was a thing wrong with them. But when they did get up in the pulpit, there was a holy hush that settled in over the congregation as you listened. We don't have that anymore, children. But the greatest treasure you could ever have, as you, a child of God, being fitted for glory, greatest treasure that you could ever have would be the Lord Jesus making himself real to you. Not some story in a book, real. And it'd make known to your heart how loving, how sweet the fellowship is just walking with him. And the knowledge you had of him in your head goes down into your soul. As the refiner fits the flame to suit you. It's never taken the life of a child of God yet. And even now, know those out there that are, and you would know if I call their names. It's only by the grace and mercy of God that they are able to do what they do in the situation, physical condition they're in. For every person here, myself included, we've got it good. And we've got our aches and we've got our pains and we've got our afflictions and sharp arrows sometimes, but we still have it good. But what it's going to take for God to bring some in this wicked day, I don't know. But those of you that know him, you pray that you can walk with him. And you plead with him. Oh, it'll cost you. That you won't know him. I tell you where I asked the Lord that. I had come to the end of the road there that turns into the Horseshoe Bend Park on a trip to Dayville and stopped there waiting on a couple of cars to pass where I had to get into another highway. I asked the Lord, I want to know you. And I knew immediately that what I just asked was going to cost. But the treasures from it the value is so great that the other became little. Children, get to your Savior. Live as close to him as you can. And walk out of here in your heart determined. And those of you that don't know him, maybe you can walk out determined to get to him. Lord bless you. Lord keep you. And grant you much mercy and grace as you seek the living Christ.